Okay, we started to discuss the sugya last time, and we'll just go over some of the basics again of David and Achitophel. So David HaMelech has this shaila. He doesn't know what to do because he's digging these holes by the Mizbeach, where the Mizbeach will one day be. David didn't have a base of Mikdash, and the water is coming up and it's going to drown the whole world out. So David says, oh no, I don't know what to do. Am I allowed to write a Shem Hashem on a piece of pottery, throw it into the water, let the water die down, because the Shem Hashem is going to be erased that way? So he says, anyone who doesn't tell me the answer to this is going to choke. So Achitophel says, I don't want to choke. So Achitophel says, I'll tell you the answer, it's a kal v'chomer. If you're allowed to erase Hashem's name to make shalom bein ish l'ishto, for a sota, to make peace between a husband and wife, then, and that's only to save a marriage. That only saves one marriage. So you're going to save the whole world here. Allah has come. Of course you're allowed to erase the Shem Hashem. So we pointed out that this is a very strange story. Very strange question. First of all, it's obvious that you're allowed to do this because you're saving lives. So we discussed that last time. That's pikuach nefesh. Of course you're allowed to erase Hashem's name for pikuach nefesh, to save lives. There are only three things you're not allowed to do for pikuach nefesh. I don't want to get back into that conversation. We already had that conversation. Now, I wanted to discuss today the issue of gram mechikas Hashem. And what I mean by this is that the Achronim point out that the Gemara Masechta Shabbos is very clear on Daf Kuf Chaf. We saw the Gemara last time, that if a person has Shem Kosov al Basara, he wrote the name of Hashem for some reason on his arm, in ink, and if he goes to a mikveh, it's going to get erased. The water is going to go swimming, it's going to erase the Shem Hashem. So is he allowed to go into the water or not? So the Gemara has a little bit of a back and forth, and then the Gemara says, well, you know what? As far as erasing the name of Hashem, there's no problem. Because he's not erasing the name of Hashem. He's going into the water, and the water is erasing the name of Hashem. What he's doing is a very indirect erasure of Hashem's name. So that's not called erasing Hashem. Gram mechika shari. To indirectly erase Hashem's name is mutter. It's only if you directly, you take an eraser and you scrub it out. Or you go to the water and you rub your skin with the water, you rub it with soap or with a brush or something to get it out. That would be awesome. But if you're just going in the water and the water erases Hashem's name, the Gemara says that's mutter. What's the whole shaila then about going to the mikveh with Hashem's name written on your skin? It's not about erasing Hashem's name. It's about being omed arum. It's about standing unclothed in front of the Shem Hashem. That a person shouldn't be arum l'fnei Shem Hashem. I mentioned last time I got that shaila about the mezuzah case that was made up with the words Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad on the actual mezuzah case. So a woman said that her rabbi told her that she's not allowed to have such a mezuzah case because it's going to be in her bedroom and she's going to be changing, and then she's going to be standing in front of the Shem Hashem, and that's disrespectful to the Shem Hashem. The rabbi's correct if she leaves her door open when she changes, right? That she can't be arum in front of the Shem Hashem. If you close the door, the mezuzah is on the outside anyway. I just wanted to mention that again because I asked Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, what do you thought about that? Are you allowed to have such a mezuzah case? Is there anything to be concerned about changing your clothing, even if you're not totally arum? Is it considered disrespectful to change your clothing at all in front of it? So he wrote back to me, we never heard of such mezuzah cases in the past. In this type of situation, the Chassam Sofer said, Chadash Asur min HaTorah, we don't start new things, so you shouldn't make any such mezuzah cases like that. You shouldn't buy a mezuzah case like that. But that was a little interesting, no? When do you say that something is considered a new innovation and is therefore usur because it's a new way of practicing our religion? And when do you, like, every new design that you're going to make a mezuzah case out of is going to be considered chadash? Or, like, is going to be considered something that's usur? I wasn't sure. I don't know. He thought that this is different enough that it would be considered chadash asur min haTorah, that you can't do it. You can't make new minhagim. All right, I thought that was fascinating. I thought that was somewhat interesting. But nogei l'inyanenu, getting back to us over here, the Gemara is very clear that gram mechika is mutter. To indirectly cause an erasing of Hashem's name is mutter. What's the definition of indirectly causing it? You have the name of Hashem written on your skin and you go into the water. So let me ask you something. You have the name of Hashem written on a piece of paper and you throw that into the water. Is that directly erasing it or indirectly erasing it? L'chor, it's the same thing as having the Shem Hashem on your skin and going into the water. That's indirect, and therefore it should be mutter. So what's David HaMelech asking? David HaMelech says, I have a shaila. Am I allowed to write the name of Hashem on the shard and throw it into the water? And he needs Achitophel to come up with this fancy answer about the sota and this and the whole world and lab. Forget all of that. You're not doing any aveira. There's no iser. It's gram mechika. There's nothing wrong with gram mechika. So that's the kasha. Now, there are several approaches that the Achronim have to answer this kasha. Let's go. Let's take one at a time. Nadav Yehuda has an interesting chiddush. I think this tshuva is actually from the son of the Nadav Yehuda. Nadav Yehuda Madura Tinyana, Simon Yud Zayin. There are two volumes of the tshuvas of the Nadav Yehuda. Madura Kama is volume one. Madura Tinyana is volume two. Much of Madura Tinyana was written by the Ben Hamachaber, by the son of the Nadav Yehuda. Nadav Yehuda's name was Landau, Rabbi Cheskel Landau. I remember there was a kid Landau when I went to MTA who was in my class, who told me, I didn't know what it meant at the time, I didn't know what his yichus was, but he said, my great-great-great-grandfather was the Gadol Hador, was the one of the Gadolei Hadoros of all time. My great-great-grandfather was a Gadol Hador. My great-grandfather was a very great Talmud Chacham. My grandfather, you know, was a rabbi, he knows how to learn. My father is a... is a regular from Balabas. I'm barely religious, and my kids are going to be Christians. So he used to. So I think he probably got from at some point. But I don't know why that statement stuck with me. But I was just thinking, Landau. This is probably who he's referring to. Is Nadav Yehuda? That it was the Gedolei Hadoros. So Nadav Yehuda's son wrote many of the tshuvas in Nadav Yehuda Madura Tinyana. So Nadav Yehuda's son suggests the following chiddush. He writes that even though gram mechika is mutter, and that's clear in the Gemara comes to that clear conclusion that indirect erasing of Hashem's name is mutter, on about the sixth line of this tshuva, he writes, Omnam afal pikein yesh lomar, delo shari grama ella l'tevila shel mitzvah. He says it's important to pay attention to the context of that Gemara. What was the Gemara talking about when you had the name of Hashem written on your skin? It was where you wanted to go to the mikveh. So the Gemara says, oh, the only problem you're going to have is standing naked in front of the name of Hashem. But going to the mikveh and indirectly causing the name to be erased is not a problem. So says Nadav Yehuda, why? Because it's l'shem mitzvah. It's going to the mikveh that you're...
Why is Sfardi?
yeah, I gave you so much PR yesterday. It was... okay, very good. So, that's our local sushi man. All my sushi shilas recently. What was I saying? Yeah, so it says the Nadav Yehuda, the son, gram mechika is only mutter when you're trying to do a mitzvah. But to needlessly be gore mechikas Hashem? To needlessly and directly cause an erasing of Hashem's name? No, that's absolutely not permitted. What's the issue? If gram mechikas mutter b'makom mitzvah, that means it must not be a violation of mechikas Hashem. Because you're not allowed to actually erase Hashem's name, even for a mitzvah. Right? So obviously you're holding that gram mechika is not called mechikas Hashem. So then, why when there's no mitzvah can't you do gram mechika? What's the avera? It's not mechikas Hashem. If it were mechikas Hashem, you wouldn't be allowed to do it even b'makom mitzvah. So what is the avera? So says the Nadav Yehuda, it's a bizayon Hashem. It's a bizayon, causing bizyonos to the Shem Hashem. Is that a respectful way to treat the Shem Hashem? It's not respectful. It's not mechikas Hashem, but it's simply not respectful. And he goes on to say that maybe this is subject to a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos and Maseches Yuma. Rashi, Maseches Yuma, and Daf Chesem and Aleph writes, when the Gemara over there says that you're not allowed to wash off the Shem Hashem, you're not allowed to wash when you have the Shem Hashem written on your skin, Rashi says because of Mechikas Hashem, because you're erasing Hashem's name. So Tosfos jumps all over, Tosfos Yishonim jumps all over Rashi. What do you mean? The whole Sugi and Shabbos discussed this, and the Gemara said that's not called Mechikas Hashem when you bathe with Hashem's name written on your skin. What's that called? When you bathe with Hashem's name written on your skin? Not Mechikas Hashem, it's Gram Mechika. And that's mutter. What's the whole reason you're not allowed to go to the mikvah with the Shem Hashem written on your skin according to the Gemara and Shabbos? Because you can't be unclothed in front of it. Nothing to do with Mechika. Why is Rashi, focusing on this mechika, that it's all erasing Hashem's name? So he says, l'chora, Rashi has to be right though, because it's a major kasha in Tosfos. If the whole issue of going to the mikveh with the Shem Hashem on your skin is not the erasing of the Shem Hashem, but it's the standing unclothed in front of the Shem Hashem, right? Why would the Gemara formulate the case of going to the mikveh? Why doesn't the Gemara just say, you know, think of a case. When would a person who has Shem Hashem written on his skin ever be unclothed in front of the Shem Hashem? No, does it have to be going to the mikveh? When would he ever be unclothed? How about when he changes his clothing? How about when he takes a bath? I don't know, there are lots of times. Why would he talk about going to the mikveh? It has nothing to do with the mikveh. When you, every time you change your clothing, you're going to be violating standing Arum in front of it. So that's what leads Rashi to say there must be something more than just being Arum in front of it. There must be some issue of having it come in contact with water. So it says in other words that that's what Rashi is referring to. That in addition to the Omed Arum standing unclothed in front of it, there is an issue of Mechika. What's the issue? When it's not Litzorech Mitzvah, when there's no mitzvah need, it would be a violation of Bizayon of Hashem to put that Shem Hashem in water and have it become erased in an indirect way. So the way it turns out, according to the way Nadav Yehuda understands it, is that there are three levels, there are three issues. There are three separate Isurim. If a person has Shem Hashem written on their skin and they want to go to the mikveh, one Isur is standing naked in front of the Shem Hashem. That's a real legitimate problem. Another issue is Mechikas Hashem. That, the Gemara says, is not a problem because it's only indirect. It's Gram Mechika. Says in the Debut that there's a third issue. Bizayon Hashem. And what's the halach of Bizayon Hashem? Even though you're only doing it indirectly, it's a violation, but L'shem Mitzvah it's mutter. You're allowed to do it for the sake of Mitzvah.
Are you allowed to go to you're not allowed to have a separate
shemitah. Very good. You're not allowed to have a chatzitza. I mentioned this last time you had to run to class. You're not allowed to have a chatzitza between your skin. This is a major kash I have in the whole sugya. I was gratified that I was listening to one of Rav Shechter Shir Mamakas recently, and someone asked him this kasha, and he said it's a starka kasha. It's a very, very strong kasha. He doesn't know the answer. A chatzitza would be something that's a solid. It's not if it's a liquid, it's not going to be a chatzitza. Right? So if it's dried ink, it would be a chatzitza. The tefillah wouldn't be good anyway. If the ink is wet, then the tefillah would be good.
So obviously in this case,
it's wet. But someone asked Rav Shechter, wait a second, but if it's wet, then it's not ksiva at all. Then it's not even, it's not called written yet. It's only called nichtav once it's dry. So manavshach, it shouldn't be a problem. So someone asked Rav Shechter, he said it's a shtar kikashi, he doesn't know the answer.
Also have to wash yourself before even going to the mikvah?
That's because of that, of chatzitzas. You have to clean off any chatzitzas that you
so
might have.
So this case would never...
Well, if it's still wet, then that's not a chatzitza. You can go with liquids on your body, and that's fine. It's only anything that's crusted or dried or something like that. You know, polish, you know, nail polish, women...
That
has
would
to...
come off when you're washing yourself, so it wouldn't even get to the mikvah.
Oh, no, oh.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Now, that's a minhag that we have too. The real din d'oraisa is that you have to just look at your body, make sure there's nothing on it. The minhag we have is to wash, but that's only a minhag. Yeah.
I thought the kiss was framed like a tattoo. So it's more
like tattoo would definitely not be a chatzitza, and it wouldn't be an issue of mechika because it wouldn't become erased. Of Omer Arum, but then the Gemara wouldn't have had the whole discussion of Gram Mechika, and that's why it's Mutter. No, there would be no Mochik. And also, the Gemara has a terminology to describe tattoos. And it doesn't use it when we learn in the third paragraph, Suvas Kaka. That's where we describe a tattoo. And we don't use that terminology over there. Just Kasaval Basaro. So it seems that it's not a tattoo over here. It's very. And a tattoo would not be a Chatzitza issue, certainly, right? Because it's under the skin. But, you know, there are, you go to a mikveh, you know, some of the local mikvahs on Erev Shabbos, you'll see people with tattoos that come, Bali Tshuva or whatever, they got, you know, now they have beards and whatever, but, you know, once upon a time. So Dr. Abitan, who's a dermatologist, said that a guy came to him with a beard and payas once, and he came for tattoo removal. He had a tattoo on his arm, and because he was, you know, he's Bali Tshuva and he was embarrassed. So Dr. Abitan gave him the first treatment, and while he's doing the first treatment, the guy's looking and he goes, "It's really kind of cool, isn't it?" And he's like, do you want it removed or not? And the guy, so the guy said, okay. And he never came back for a second appointment. I don't know. So hopefully, whatever. But it wouldn't be a chatzitza. It just could just be embarrassing. There is a tshuva. Min chatzitza is a tshuva. A guy had a tattoo on his arm, b'makom tefillin, of a scantily clad woman. So that's already an issue. You're going to say a bracha in front of somebody. That's a bizayin to the tefillin. That's a, so he had suggestions of what to do until you get it removed, to wrap something around it so that, you know, a piece of leather around it, that wouldn't be a chatzitza between the tefillin, because it's mimina tefillin, you know, and do something like that to have something to. But yeah, but this is not talking about a tattoo. So what was that? The great chiddush that the Rebbe is adding that we didn't know before and that you do not see in the Gemara is that even when there's no issur of mechikas Hashem, allowing the Shem Hashem to get erased, and this is going to be important for a lot of reasons as we continue in the sugya, allowing the Shem Hashem to get erased, even indirectly, is a bizayon of Hashem's name. And you're only allowed to do that l'shem mitzvah. You're not allowed to do that if you're not doing it l'shem mitzvah. And based on this, he says, we can explain the Gemara Megillah. The Gemara Megillah says that let's say you have a Sefer Torah that got worn out. It's fading. It happens sometimes. You know, the ink, it's a lot of mazel a lot of times when you write a Sefer Torah. Sometimes you have an ink that just really is fast and sticks to the cloth really, really well, does a great job, and it could stay for 80 years without fading at all. And sometimes it's not like that. Sometimes a sofer showed me in the Sefer Torah Meshul, showed me one of them is an 80-year-old Sefer Torah. It's dark and, you know, strong. And he took another Sefer Torah and he said, watch this. He took a cloth and just quickly rubbed it over, and he saw black on the cloth. He said, this ink is not, it's not going to last all that long. So sometimes, for whatever reason, sometimes it's ink that fades more quickly. So you have a Sefer Torah that's fading, so you want to put it in Sheamus. It's not going to last. You're not going to be able to salvage it. So what do? How do you bury it? So the Gemara says, you put it in a kli cheres. You put it in a pottery, piece of pottery. L'man yamud yamim rabin. Because the Navi Yirmiyahu tells us that when you put something in, you bury something in a kli cheres, it could last for a long time. Yirmiyahu Navi is talking about shtaros after the Churban Abayis, that you want to keep the deeds to your land, so put them in a kli cheres and bury them, and then after 70 years of Golas Bavel, you'll be able to come back and you'll find the deeds to your land. But the Gemara says, so for a Sefer Torah, you got to put it in a kli cheres. You can't just bury it in the ground. Why? Because there's still a lot of Shemos Hashem in it. And if you bury it in the ground, it's going to become erased. But wait a second. Is that a problem? That's not mechika. That's gram mechika. That's only indirect. Gram mechika's mutter. Says the Noid of Yehuda. You're right. It's not a problem of mechika. But it's a problem of Yizayin Hashem. And there's no tzorich mitzvah to not put it in the kli cheres. So it's a problem of bizayin Hashem, and therefore you have to put it in a kli cheres. He says, I realize that I'm making up a new category over here, and that none of the other posts can talk about this. But he says, show me I'm wrong. You know, it seems to make sense, right? It seems to make sense that there is this idea of bizayin Hashem. Now coming back to us then. So what's David HaMelech's shaila about? David HaMelech says, am I allowed to write the Shem Hashem and throw it into the water? And he needs Achitofel to come and tell him that it's mutter to do so. So we said, what's this shaila? Gram Mechika's mutter. Maybe according to Nod Biyudah, shaila wasn't about Gram Mechika. What was the shaila about? Bizayin Hashem. Am I allowed to cause such a Bizayin Hashem? Ah, so it doesn't work. Because for the sake of a mitzvah, you're allowed to do Bizayin Hashem. Bizayin of the Shem Hashem in this way. And is there a greater mitzvah than saving all of humanity, you know, than saving all of Israel that's about to be flooded? One would imagine that that would qualify as a tzarech mitzvah. So we have to dig a little deeper. We have to look at what other possibilities we might have. There is a minchas chinuch in mitzvah taf lamed zayin. Minchas chinuch points out that when you erase the Shem Hashem, it's not only a violation. Well, you know, let's give some. I left out some crucial information over here, some basic introductions to this Isser of erasing Hashem's name. Where does the Isser come from? I don't think I mentioned. Where does the Isser come from? It's a pasuk in the Torah. Pasuk says, what? No. Pasuk says, Eila hachukim va'mishpatim asher tishmur l'asos ba'aretz asher nasan Hashem elokei avosecha l'chal l'rishta This is what you do when you get into Eretz Yisrael. Kol Yom Asher Atem Chayim Al Adama. Here's what you do. You get into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to get the promised land, says the Pasuk. Abed ta abdun es kol hamakomos asher avdu sham hagoyim asher atem yorshim osam es Eloheyem al haharim haramim v'al hagvaos v'sachs kol etranon. Find every avodah zara, root it out, destroy it. V'nitzatzim es mizbechosam, break apart their altars. Shibartem es matzevosam. Va'ashreim tisrufun be'esh, burn their asherah trees. Psile Elohim tigadeun, their idols cut down. Ve'ibaditem es shemam min ha'makom ahu, and eradicate their name, the name of any avodah zara, from that place, from Eretz Yisrael. Cleanse Eretz Yisrael of avodah zara. And then the very next pasuk dalid, dvarim parakid beis, lo sasum kein la'Hashem Elokeichem. By the way, don't do that to Hashem. Make sure you only do that to avodah zaras. So what's losasum kein la'Hashem Elokeichem? It's the iser to destroy a symbol of kedusha, of Hashem's name. You have a chiyuv to do it. And where do I know this from? It's a Gemara Makos. Tavchav Beis Amad Aleph. Gemara Makos derives from this pasuk. I was looking for it last time, right? The Gemara says, The Gemara says, V'lichshuv nami hamochek es Hashem b'halichaso, v'az harasei me'hacha. That erasing the name of Hashem, we learn the azhara from the erasing of Hashem's name. The Gemara, this is, it's an interesting sugya. Makos Chaf Beis, the Gemara is talking about, there are several Gemaras in Makos like this. The Gemara is talking about, like, how can you maximize the most averos with a single action? Like, is there a way that you can win the ultimate avera contest, where you could do one thing and violate, like, as many yisurim as possible in the Torah? So the Gemara says, okay. What if you plow an area on Yantif, and it goes through the whole thing. You plow with two different types of animals on Yantif, and, you know, with during Shemitah year, and it, like, it comes up with all ways that you could violate all sorts of different averos. So the Gemara says, and what if while you're walking, you're also erasing Hashem's name? So, you know, then you really get it. While you're plowing, you're also erasing Hashem's name, and you're chewing non-kosher gum, and you're doing, I don't know, whatever. You're doing all sorts of averos all at the same time. So Gemara says, where does it say you're not allowed to erase Hashem's name? So Gemara quotes the pasuk, "V'ibadtem shmam lo sasim kein la'Hashem Elokeichem." Destroy all of idolatry, but don't do it. Don't do that to Hashem Elokeichem. You can't erase Hashem's name. So that's the source for the Isser of erasing Hashem's name. L'sasim kein la'Hashem Elokeichem. The Rambam quotes this in the sixth parak of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, that anyone who's ma'abed shem min ha'shemos, anyone who destroys any of the shemos hakadoshim, so what does it mean, any of the shemos hakadoshim? It's not just Yirkei Vavkei. It's Elokeinu and Elokim, and little known one, Eheke, when Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe says, who should I say sent me? Eheke Asher Eheke. Shulchan Aruch says that's Hashem Hashem. Eheke Asher Eheke. So you can't erase that name either. None of the shemos hakadoshim atahorim that Hashem is called by, lokum min haTorah, you get malchus min haTorah. Rambam quotes, and then Halacha Beis, the Rambam writes, that there are seven names of Hashem, of Hashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's Shem Mufush, Aleph Dalid Nun Yud, Kel, Eloka, Elokim, Eheke, Shakai, Tzvakos, all of these are names of Hashem, and anyone who erases a single letter of these shemos has thereby erased Hashem's name and gets malchus. The Sefer HaChinuch points out in Mitzvah Taf Lamed Zayin, if you ever study this mitzvah a little bit, Sefer HaChinuch just points out that this extends to other things that Hashem is called on also, to other elements of Kedusha. Mikdash, Sifrei Kodesh, it's all part of Lo Sasun Kein LaHashem Elokeichem. Meaning, there's a parallel. We said, here's what you do to Avodah Zarah, and whatever you do to Avodah Zarah is what you should not do to Hashem. So where do we get the idea that Gram Mechika is Mutter? That if you're only doing it indirectly, it's Mutter? Because the formulation of the Isser is, actively go seek out and destroy Avodah Zarah. The Isser is to actively go out and destroy Shem Hashem. That would be the Isser. But if it's only Gram, if it's only indirectly causing, that's not the Isser, because that's not Right? The mitzvah is not to be goreim, a destruction of the Avodah Zarah. It's to do the destruction of the Avodah Zarah. Lo sasun kein l'Hashem Elokeichem. Doing it to Hashem is going to be awesome. Michas Chinuch has an interesting suffix. He says, what if the Shem Hashem was written Shalom L'Shma? He didn't write the Shem Kedusha. There's very Nogea L'Maisa. Why is it so Nogea L'Maisa? Let's say you only write the Shem Hashem, not to last. You don't want it to be a Shem Hashem that's going to be used for Kedusha or whatever. For illustrative purposes, you want to show a student in a classroom what the Pasuk says. So you write out the Pasuk, but you don't intend that your writing of the Pasuk is going to be the Kedusha of the Pasuk that's going to, you know, that's going to be preserved forever and ever. That's not what you're doing. You want to show, you know, this is what the Pasuk says. This happens. Every once in a while you get this shaila. A teacher wasn't paying attention, and they're copying from the Chumash, and they're writing on the board. Now with smart boards it's a little easier. But they're writing on the board, and they wrote the Shem Hashem. Ink on a board, you know, on a whiteboard. Now what do you do? The math teacher is going to be really mad if you can't erase, you know, the Shem Hashem that's all over the board. So maybe no get to this issue. If you didn't have any intention l'shem kedushas Hashem, so then maybe it doesn't have the status of kedusha, right? And then it would be mutter to erase because there's no status of kedusha. So Minchas Chinuch is mesupik about this in Mitzvah Tav Lamed Zayin. The Chida in Birkei Yosef in Shulchan Aruch Yerdeisim Reishayin Vavos Chavdal also is mesupik about this. If you write Shalol Lishma, does that have Kedusha? Does that have the Isser of being Mochik Shem Hashem? When you write Shalom Lishma and it doesn't have Kedusha, would it still be subject to the Isser?
But the reference is Kedusha.
The reference is Kedusha. It's supposed to bring to mind Kedusha. That's correct. That is correct. But nevertheless, the actual, you know, the actual physical shame that's in front of you doesn't have Kedusha. Perhaps. So Minchas Chinuch says, well, wait a second. Says Minchas Chinuch, what did we just say? There's a parallel here. This Isser has to have a parallel in the world of a mitzvah of doing what? Of destroying Avodah Zarah. So says Minchas Chinuch, the Torah tells us, go find every Avodah Zarah and destroy it. Should you first interview the... you know, the priests of the Avodah Zarah? Tell me, sir, when you built this temple for Avodah Zarah, did you do it l'shem Avodah Zarah? Or does it just happen to look like an idol? There's no such qualification. If it looks like an Avodah Zarah, mitzvah to destroy it, mitzvah daraisa. Therefore, says the Minchas Chinuch, on the flip side, when you have an Isser to destroy any Shem Hashem, if it looks like Shem Hashem, that's your Isser. You're not allowed to destroy it. I don't care if it was written l'shma or not l'shma. So he says, regardless of whether something that's written l'shma or not l'shma generally has kedusha, doesn't have kedusha, over here that's not what we're looking at. Over here, the nature of this isser is that it's supposed to mirror the mitzvah of destroying Avodah Zarah. It's a fascinating insight. That all of the gedarim of this isser of destroying Shem Hashem are going to be determined by the gedarim of the mitzvah of destroying Avodah Zarah. That's what he suggests. Now, lahalacha, it seems there are three shitos, lahalacha, what to do about a shame that wasn't written, l'shem kedusha. One shita is, you're chayiv if you erase it, just like anything else. That's what Minchas Chinuch seems to be saying, right? Second possibility is, it's an iser, but you don't get malchus. And therefore, if it's a major shasad chak, it would be mutter. Because it's saying you're not really destroying kedusha, but you're destroying something that looks like kedusha, so it looks bad. But if it's a major shasad chak, it might be mutter. Third possibility is that there's no iser whatsoever. It doesn't have any kedusha. That's what the shach sounds like he says in Yoredei Sim Reishayin Vav, that it's not an iser at all. One might argue, therefore, that if the teacher writes the name on the board, the Shem of Hashem on the board, that maybe that's called that it's not, doesn't have Kedusha. It's not written the Shem Kedusha, yeah?
So, not according to the last opinion, would you be able to, like if it's like
her name with like a yud, would you be able to like make it like a vav or like continue on like to make it a different letter and therefore would it?
Ah, so that's one of the solutions that Poskim suggests. Don't erase any part of it. Add to it where it will then thereby become, if you change the yuds to vavs, right? The yuds to vavs will then become another letter entirely. Change the hey to a kuf or something like that, it will become another letter entirely. And then your letter will erase it. So that's one of the suggestions in Poskim. Some Poskim say that's okay. Others say, no, that's the same thing as erasing, because you're taking, it was a Shem Hashem, now it's not a Shem Hashem, so you've obliterated a Shem Hashem. Mali Mosef, Mali Goreya. What difference does it make if you added to it and thereby took away the Shem Hashem?
What about the word Yisrael?
What about it?
Shem's always in there, so like, if you'd be like adding to that, you could say like...
Well, you don't write it back, you don't write the Aleph Lam and the Mem.
If it was to be in like...
Oh, meaning if you see, if you have the name, if you have the Aleph and Lamed on the board, can you just write Yud Shin Reish and there, and therefore,
so, right? That, you wouldn't be allowed to do that,
right, right. That's interesting. Very interesting. When you write it straight, so then it was never Kadosh. The Aleph and Lamed is just part of a different word.
Right.
It's like my name, Aryeh. Right? When I write it straight, even though it ends with the Yud and the Hey. So it's. I remember I was at a wedding. I was an Eid Kiddushin at a wedding years and years ago when I was a Bachur. And Rabbi Teitz was Masalik Kedushin, and he told me, okay, how are you going to write your name on the Ksuba? So I practiced, and I was always taught, between the Yud and the Hey, I made a little dash of my name. Because I don't know, that's the way they taught me in South Shore, that's why they told me how to write my name. So that's what I always did. So I wrote the thing, he says, practice on this piece of paper. So I practice it, and he looks at it, he says, I don't think anyone's going to confuse you with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's okay, you can leave out the dash. So I said, okay, you know. So then I wrote it on the ksuba, but I was so used to it, I again wrote it with the dash on the ksuba, and he looks at me like, you are such an idiot. I just told you a second ago, like, what is wrong with you? Well, whatever. But maybe according to this approach of the Shach, that if it's not written L'Shem Kedusha, it doesn't have Kedusha. And what's the definition of not written L'Shem Kedusha? Part of the definition might be like a teacher who's just writing for illustrative purposes. Or you're just writing temporarily. You only plan on keeping it temporarily. It doesn't have Kedusha. So then maybe according to that, maybe anyway David HaMelech shouldn't have had a problem. No? Because what was David HaMelech asking? Can I write the name on the shard and then erase it? So his whole point was that it should be erased shortly. So maybe that anyway wouldn't even be a problem of Gram Mechika. I mean, it wouldn't even be a problem with Bizayin Hashem. It wouldn't be anything. Right? It wouldn't have even had a Shaila, if you say it like that. Meaning, what I'm trying to say is, the better way to say it is, the story of David HaMelech seems to be a Raya that even if you're just writing it temporarily, it still has Kedushas Hashem. Because David HaMelech was obviously under the impression that it's going to have Kedushas Hashem when he writes this Shem Hashem. So that seems to be a Raya that even if you only plan on writing it temporarily, it's still going to have Kedushas Hashem. Yeah?
Why can't an obvious answer just be that, like, it's not the classic Shem Hashem, it's one of those, like, the longer names of Hashem, where there's a difference between, you know, that's what I'm saying.
And that would be an Isser even with Gram?
Yeah, meaning there's a
you're assuming that there's a greater level of Kedusha to whatever it is that David HaMelech was writing.
Yeah,
it's a very interesting idea. I didn't see anyone mention it. It's a very interesting idea. I don't know. It's possible. It's a very interesting idea. I don't know. Now, okay. So so going back to our question, what was David HaMelech's Shaila? Anyway, Gram Mechika is Mutter. There's no problem with Gram Mechika. So Minchas Chinuch suggests the following idea. Minchas Chinuch suggests that when you're mochek Shem Hashem, it's a violation of two averus. It's a lo sasev lo sasun kein Hashem elokechem. It's also a violation of a mitzvah sasev es Hashem elokecha tira. A little bit similar to what the Nadav Yehuda said, except he more, you know, he doesn't just say bizayin Hashem, he gives it a formal name, you know? He says it's a pasuk. Es Hashem elokecha tira. Things that you fear, that you are in awe of, you don't erase. So it's a violation of that mitzvah sasei. The idea that gram mechika is mutter, how do we know gram mechika is mutter? Because the pasuk says, lo sas unkein l'Hashem elokeichem. Hagrama shari, but gram is mutter. That helps you solve the problem of the los aseh. But by allowing the Shem Hashem to get erased, even Ali de Gram, is that not a violation of Es Hashem al Kechatira? At least that you're still violating. And maybe that was David Amel's question. His question was, am I allowed to do this? Not because I'm worried about Los Asin Ken Hashem al Kechem. That's only Grama. That's not a problem. I'm worried about the mitzvah to say of Es Hashem al Kechatira. And the answer is, that to violate a mitzvah sasei, you're allowed to do that in order to save the whole world. That was Achitovel's answer. Now another approach you could take to the whole thing is that if you look in Rashi, Rashi says David HaMelech knew the answer. He didn't really need Achitovel to give him an answer. Why did he wait for Achitovel to give an answer? Because he didn't want to be Mara Halacha B'fnei Rabbo. He didn't want to paskin when his Rebbe was right there. So Achitovel was Rebbe, he wanted Achitovel to say the answer. But that's not a sufficient explanation as to why David HaMelech is asking the Shaila, because then you could just, you know, move the question over onto Achitofel. So why did Achitofel give this fancy answer instead of just saying, Gram Achikus Mutter?
Can you also just answer that, like even the story itself was just meant to, meant to bring out like a lesson of like how great Shalom is between people, meaning it's a kamachomer from shalom between man and woman. So it's like an answer to, you know, to the whole world.
Yeah, I mean, the pashtus is that all of this has to be right. I mean, the simplest answer to all of it is but still it couches it in this halachic discussion, so that's why all the achronim are agitated by it. The another suggestion before we even get to the Avnei Nezer, some of the achronim suggest maybe his shaila wasn't whether he's allowed to race the Shem Hashem. Shaila was, are you allowed to write it in the first place knowing that you're going to have it be erased? Meaning you're dafka putting it in a situation where you're writing it so that it will be erased. You know what? I'm going to save that one for tomorrow. Let's get to the Avnei Nezer for a minute. That one I want to discuss tomorrow because that opens up a whole Pandora's box of new questions. Parsha sheets. So maybe you're allowed to throw the parsha sheets away in the shul. Why? Because they were only made to be read and then discarded. No one's saving them. They weren't made to be saved. They were only made to be temporary. But is that a heter to make them in the first place? Are you allowed to make them if you know that they're going to then be discarded shortly thereafter? So that's something to discuss. To what extent do you have to worry that by putting something in a situation, it's then one day going to have to be discarded? Okay, we can get to all that as Hashem tomorrow, but let's just at least mention the Avnei Nezer, begin the Avnei Nezer now. The Avnei Nezer in Siman Shinayin says a lot of things. One of the ideas that he has is that there's a difference between when you put something in flowing water, whereas when you put something in a still body of water, that it's only considered grumma when there's a flow of water. But when the water is standing right there, it's still water, then it would not be considered grama. What would be the difference? What's the definition of grama? What does grama really mean? What does grama really mean? Right, indirectly causing something to happen. So when they have like these grama switches on like telephones and whatever and like things like that, what are they doing? What do they have? And normally, I push the button and it automatically accomplishes what I want it to accomplish. These grumma switches add in another step to the process. They make it that my pushing that button causes that to happen, that causes that to happen, and that causes the ultimate result. They just add more steps in the process. They also add in sveikos, that it sometimes causes, sometimes doesn't. But that's the idea. That makes it less direct. You know, there was a big tumult when they first came up with the machine matzahs. The machine matzahs may only be called that it's grumma, that you're making an Ali Day grumma, that you're not actually baking the matzahs. Why? Because baking the matzahs is taking dough and putting it in the oven. That's not what I'm doing. I'm pushing a button, the dough is then being, you know, flattened and this and that and whatever, and way indirectly down the line, it gets put into an oven and gets baked. So says the Avnei Zer, maybe gram mechika means, why is it not mechika if I put it in water? It might not mean whether I put an eraser on it or I put water on it. Isn't that mechika? Either way, why is that only indirect? He says, maybe gram mechika means that the water I put it in is not going to be the water that erases it. What's going to happen? It's in a flowing body of water. So the water I put it in is going to be long gone by the time it gets erased. That water is going to continue to flow. The river is going to keep on raging, and ultimately more water is going to come, more water is going to come, more water, and that's going to slowly erase the name out. That's a grubba. Because it's not the water that I put... What? Right, but the shame is still there. It's still a kasha shame Hashem. It fades a little, it's still a shame Hashem. You haven't violated anything yet. If you lighten the shame Hashem, it's still okay. It's only once it's no longer legible. By the time it's no longer legible, that's later on in the process. It's a fascinating way of understanding it. Problem is, tovel with shame al besaro is the case of the Gemara. When you're tovel, what are you being tovel in? So there are two things you could be tovel in. There's a mikveh and a mayan. What's the difference between mikveh and a mayan? A mikveh, a pool of still water, it's just sitting there. A mayan is a spring, a flowing spring. It would make the whole grab mechika only true of being toveled in a mayan, not in a mikveh. In a mikveh, it would be direct mechika because you're putting in water. It might have to be right. You're putting an eraser on it or putting water on it. All right. So, Bezrashem, tomorrow, what I want to do is I want to finish up the sugya. Tomorrow's going to be the last day of the sugya. I want to take a look at that Avnei Nezer a little more carefully and other fascinating insights the Avnei Nezer has. Rav Moshe has a fascinating tshuva over here also about putting something in it, and the Nitziv. So tomorrow's a big tshuva day. I realize they're long and they may not be so easy. But tomorrow, Rav Moshe, the Nitziv, the Avnei Nezer, I want to take a look at those three major sources. Okay. Yeah.